ladies and gentlemen, listeners in the United States, Canada, and worldwide on the internet to a very special edition of CFP Radio, the Hagman McLeod Report, heard every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Blog Talk Radio platform. Today is the 19th day of March, 2011, 8 days after the tragic earthquake and tsunami that struck Japan. And in honor of the Japanese, our friends the Japanese, that intro was the Japanese national anthem as prepared or as played by or cued by Chief Engineer and Call Screener Brian Thompson of Canada Free Press. I am the Hagman component of the Hagman McLeod Report. With me is Judy McLeod, the founding editor of Canada Free Press. Together we've launched a radio program today, the third installment of such program. Boy, I'll tell you what, with all that's going on, Judy and I feel like Orson Welles, the War of the World circa 1930. The big difference, however, you know, Orson's attack was from the world of fairy tale and pretend, and certainly a mark of his creativity genius. Ours, however, is real. The danger of nuclear fallout from crippled nuclear reactors in Japan, where people are holding on to their life in the dark and in the cold with food and water and medicines running out. And, of course, we've got the mad dog of Libya ending a ceasefire with only hours of agreeing to it. And as a result of that, apparently a third theater of war has been opened. Without further ado, I'd like to bring on my co-host, the beautiful and very intelligent, very special, Judy McLeod. Judy, how are you today?
Oh, fine, thank you, and thank you for that great intro, and I want to say good evening to all of our listeners, and welcome to the Hagman McLeod Report, CFP Radio.
Indeed, and let me remind callers, people that they can call in with their comments, questions, concerns. Today's topic, Judy, I think, is going to be preparedness, what's really taking place in Japan, how it's going to affect us here in North America, and preparedness in general, and other matters of current social importance. If you want to call into the show, 661-244-9839, or go to CanadaFreePress.com or HomelandSecurityUS.com, click on the link. There's all the information there. You can find it there and call in, talk to us. We're a show, by the way. We don't yell at you. We don't talk over you, and we certainly won't hang up on you unless, of course, you're getting off into some real objectionable content. But otherwise, that's it. Judy, I'll tell you what. Where do we start?
I think that we start by talking about. You know, that what to do, what I'm saying, what to do in both in natural disasters and man-made disasters, what is the best thing folk can do to protect themselves? I think we're learning things from the horrible tragedy in Japan. Many of the shelters that they went to, They weren't stockpiled with things like water, food. Of course, it's difficult, to stockpile up on medicine. But we don't know. We certainly live in very volatile times. There are so many things going on in our world right now. The world has changed. I think that perhaps if we could talk and let people call in and with their ideas on. What to do basically to try to keep themselves and their families as safe as possible under the circumstances of our world, our ever-changing world.
So I agree, because I turn on the news as you do, and we all hear and we go to the internet for information. We hear how bad things are, or how good or how not bad things are. It seems, I'll tell you what, Judy, it does not seem like we've got a lot of solid information coming out of Japan, how bad the situation really is. I think I can attribute some of that, we might not know, they might not know everything, but I also think there's a component there where they are, they meaning our government, their government, governments all over the place are kind of not telling people the real truth about how bad things are. And moreover,
that's a very good point, Doug. You know, like governments are not informing people. The truth is has become a long time ago. Casually, it's very difficult for any of us to get a grip on what's really happening. What is the truth?
Well, you know, that's just it. And you know, when you say prepare, I mean, we've got you and I have prepared for this show, and we'll offer people some good recommendations of how to prepare for all types of disasters. So I think this show will be good. Well, we'll be relevant, as all of our shows are, you know, a week, a year, 10 months from now, whatever, perhaps even more so at that time. Now, having said that, if I can just address one thing, Judy, I was looking at the news today, and here's what, with regard to Japan, and you can tell me how you feel about this, and tell me if this is hype, or tell me, you know, what your sources are telling you. My sources are telling me that, well, the combination of open source and intelligence sources. Japan raised disaster level, their disaster level from 4 to 5 out of, from a category 4 to a category 5. The highest, of course, is 7. That would be a Chernobyl-type incident. The nuclear complex in Fukushima, Japan, had a total of nearly 2,000, folks, listen to this, nearly 2,000 metric tons of fresh and used nuclear fuel on site. Now, this was according to Tokyo Electric Power Company, or TEPCO. So think about that. That's 2,000 metric tons. By contrast, the reactor at Chernobyl only had less than 200 tons when that accident occurred in 1986. So you've got nearly 10 times more fuel reactors or fuel rods in at the reactors in Fukushima than we did at Chernobyl. And to me, that's a huge fact that we have to tell people. Now, I don't know, is that hype or is that, I mean, you know, that's what my sources are telling me. We don't know, by the way, of the 2,000 metric tons, how much of that has been compromised or is spewing radiation. You know, we just don't know. Have you heard anything about this, or do you know any specifics?
I'm with you on that. I don't think that the facts are clear. I think it's difficult to make the facts clear when you've been hit with a double whammy of an earthquake followed by tsunami. I'm not so sure. I'm not sure how much of it is being, if you for lack of a better word, quote, suppressed, unquote. I do know that things there are getting much worse. That the latest today is that Tokyo, which was in no imminent danger these past 8 days, now the tap water is a problem in Tokyo. It's radioactive. I think that also a big part of the problem is like, almost from the start, you'd almost swear that this was happening in North America, meaning, you know, the environmental activists started right away talking about this, although it was the end of the world. I think it's important to underline and to keep in mind that it's the people of Japan that are in, you know, horrible danger. And not people outside of, you know, the Japanese islands. I know they're talking about it spreading and coming out, drifting with the wind, etc. But I think the main problem is very definitely in Japan.
Well, I agree with you that the primary area of concern, of course, is the area, the two, I'm not sure what they call them, I guess it would be prefectures. Would be,
yeah,
like states to us, or prefectures to Japan, where they've actually turned off the measuring devices for the radiation, or perhaps not turned off, stopped reporting on the radiation coming from those two prefectures and widened the circle of of danger to a 50-mile radius, and within the 50-mile radius, attempting to evacuate a lot of people. So I think that should tell us something there. And the fact that you just mentioned about the water being radioactive would definitely suggest that there's radiation is leached into the reservoirs and perhaps even the groundwater based on the snow and rain that has fallen in the 8 days since this this blast or the tsunami hit and the core melts began. So yes, indeed, you're right in the sense that the most immediate and dire threat is in
now mind you, it does reflect on America insofar as that there are something like 35,000 military personnel that we last heard they're trying to evacuate, but even that has brought up some questions and some mystery about it. As you and I were speaking earlier of that YouTube where the military official in control speaks of it's going to be done on the basis of a women and children first basis, unnecessary or personnel second, necessary personnel third, and as he puts somewhat ironically, me last. But they're talking about evacuating these people, their families, to Korea for a couple of days, and then he says another country, which makes me wonder when are they going to be sent back or allowed to be back on American soil. That's the mystery I saw in that. I don't know whether I'm seeing too much there. What do you think, Doug?
Well, now you're referring to a report, I believe it was on St. Patrick's Day on March 17th, where the Army or military, our U.S. military, was advised that there would be a quote, voluntary evacuation of all non-essential personnel, including women and children, well, women and children first, family members of military personnel, followed by the military personnel themselves. You're talking about a number anywhere between 20 and 40,000 that are being airlifted out of Japan by our own military assets, which is As far as I know, this is unprecedented. And if I can add this too, the Chinese embassy announced here within the last 48 hours in Tokyo that it would be sending buses to evacuate all Chinese nationals from four prefectures, and we're talking about an estimated 22,000 Chinese nationals working in those areas. So buses and jets are going to be dispatched. Austria followed suit, announced also would be moving its embassies from Tokyo to Osaka, which is 400 kilometers or 250 miles away due to the radiation concerns. Judy, I got to tell you, France and Finland, they've also told their people to leave Tokyo. The Czech military sent planes in to evacuate nationals. Russia says it's preparing to move all of its soldiers and civilians, too. It's almost like let's not listen to what they're saying. Let's watch what they're doing. And if they're downplaying the serious nature of this on site, yet they're doing all of this behind the scenes. It's not being reported necessarily on mainstream media. Yeah, it's a problem.
True enough. It's almost as though the land of the rising sun is going to become a no man's land or some kind of a science fiction novel. It's mind you, I don't know what Japan can do if these various nations are calling their nationals back off, back home or to places safer away from there. I mean, I don't think Japan controls that. I think the people, obviously, the nations calling back their nationals are in charge there. And one also has to wonder how difficult it is getting in and out of Japan right now. It's some of these pictures that we're seeing on the live feed that's on CFP front page. It's it's hard to even come to grips with the scope of this. It's unbelievable.
Well, Judy, do you think we are being, I don't know, this is kind of a loaded question, but do you think that we are being lied to intentionally by the governments of Japan, by the governments of United States, Canada, and elsewhere, or do you think that this is some sort of innocuous attempt to keep panic at a minimum?
I think it's perhaps a little of both, but I see it as, in the big picture, I see it that the governments of Western nations are lying to us. At least Japan has the excuse of having been bogged down with an earthquake and a tsunami. I mean,
I think that's
part of the big problem nowadays, that it's difficult to tell what is true and what isn't true anymore. I mean, all these things happening, the world's a stage, and all the bad people are on the stage right now. It's hard to keep up with all the things that are happening around us. And, of course, it's becoming more and more difficult to pick out what is the truth. Thank goodness for the Internet, or at least truth tellers on the Internet. You're not getting it through the mainstream media. Governments are on these, cloak and dagger operations to keep, remake the news, revise the news. It's a really tough time for people who want to know what's happening, if only to be able to live in relative safety, in countries like the U.S. and Canada.
Well, this week we saw reporters reporting from outside of Tokyo and in various locations, close to the plant, close to Tokyo and what have you. And one of the reporters had they had found radiation on him. I don't exactly know the details, and I'm not sure the details were released. But I look at the reporters like Shepard Smith are out there at 3 o'clock in the morning reporting the wind's blowing, it's raining, snow, and whatever, I have to wonder if these people are not being exposed to some sort of radiation, if they know what they're doing, if they have Geiger counters, which, by the way, are sold out all across the United States, as are iodine, potassium iodide pills. I just have to wonder, obviously the governments are, I agree with you. I think that in any calamity, the magnitude that we've seen, I don't think we can blame the governments right away by saying, look, you're not warning the people, because I think they have to take time to assess they got to take time to assess what the heck happened here,
Japan never got much of a chance, I don't think.
Yeah, it's difficult. I don't know, to be honest with you. Not sure how much, but like, I don't know at which point the government actually knew how long after this happened the government actually knew how bad it was, and I guess the situation is still evolving as well.
I guess you have a real problem on your hands when millions of people are in shelters when there's no heat, no lights, the food is running out. Many of them are of a certain age. It's very difficult. I guess you might say that the Japanese government, from the time the earthquake hit and the tsunami, we're truly up against it. Now, at this stage, if they're suppressing anything in terms of the depth of the danger from the nuclear fallout, then that's a different matter. And I suppose it's possible that they're doing that. We're now hearing that the earthquake is, Japan is far enough away, but they're now talking about the possibility of the Pacific Rim fire, the so-called Pacific Rim fire chain, possibly coming soon to California, to the San Francisco area. I see that as, you know, if there's any truth to it, that's something to worry about. That's not,
you know, exactly.
Japan, that's home.
Yeah. Well, exactly. If one can look at or picture a three-sided box or a box without a bottom, and the left side being the Japan and the lower right side being the South America earthquake, the only side going in a clockwise direction, of course, would be the Pacific Ring, or the Ring of Fire on the Pacific side, near the Cascadia Shelf, where the western part of the United States, and that ranges from basically Canada right down through Southern California. And we've got information. Jim Berkland was on Neil Cavuto here last week talking about the elements that, you know, for a potential earthquake here in the next several days, which we'll get into. But we do have a caller I want to grab before, very patient caller, by the way. Patricia from Nebraska has a question on radiation. Let me unmute this. Patricia from Nebraska, you're on the air with Judy McLeod and Doug Hagman.
Well, hello, good evening, and thanks for doing this. We appreciate it. My question not only concerns the radiation, but also HAARP. Could HAARP have anything to do, and I'm sure you know what HAARP is, off these earthquakes? And has anybody even really tackled that possibility?
Well, wow, that's a great question. We know, and Judy, I want to get your take on this, because this is one thing, Judy, you and I did not talk about earlier today, but I know I've talked to Steve Quayle, Stan Deo, others about HAARP. You know, what is exactly what HAARP is being used for? And of course, that's an antenna array in where is that, Patricia? In Alaska, correct? Of 360, right? This huge antenna array, and supposedly they're able to use that facility to modify weather and to affect atmospheric conditions, and reportedly cause earthquakes, man-made earthquakes. Could it be? In my estimation, I believe in this day and age anything is possible. Judy, what do you think?
I think that Patricia was very prudent to bring that up. I think that, I've been thinking, ever since Christchurch, New Zealand earthquake, it's been on my mind. I mean, if these things are capable, and they are, then why not? I see it as a very viable concern. I don't see it as a conspiracy, off the wall theory at all. I think it's something that, as Patricia said, it's too bad people were not perhaps more expert in the area of HAARP would be looking into this to see. I think it's worthwhile to look.
Patricia, can I ask you a question, though?
Sure.
Okay. What would be gained, let's say, by HAARP, by someone at the controls of a HAARP causing a man-made disaster or causing an earthquake and, you know, having this level of catastrophic devastation? What would be the benefit of that being done?
Well, you can get into all sorts of conspiracy theories there, which I'd rather not go into.
Okay.
I think if my concern is HAARP is real, we know it's there. The facility is not that far from Japan. And if they are experimenting, things can go wrong. And that's my concern, is if they're playing with this, it could cause unintended consequences, such as the quake in Japan.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, okay, so it may not be pre-thought out. Something, they could have pressed a button or done something during an experiment, and bang, this happened as an unintended consequence,
right,
as well. Indeed. You know, and I'm also reminded, too, and Judy and I talked about this earlier, about on the conspiracy side, however, What do the globalists want? Of course, they want chaos, and then they'll come in and restore their own type of order. Yes, depopulation as well. You're right. So, Patricia, very good question. Is there anything else, any other questions, concerns, comments that you might have?
No, but I have been monitoring online the radiation sites, not only in Japan, but also in the United States. And it's, I think the most telling are the what you mentioned before, the sites in Japan. Those, there's areas around that reactor that those levels, they are not posting them, period.
Yes, yes, exactly, they're not. And that's rather disconcerting to me, why they're not posting them, you know, of all places. That's the very place they should be telling people what the levels are.
Exactly. Not for us, but for the people of Japan. They need
precisely
to know, and they're being kept in the dark.
Exactly. Exactly. You're 100% right. Very astute observations. Patricia, anything else?
No, and again, thank you both for starting this. I think this is great.
Patricia, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you,
please,
Patricia.
Pass the word along. Please pass the word along, Patricia. God bless you. Stay safe, and keep listening to CFP Radio, because we will keep you informed. Indeed, we will keep you. Judy and I will keep you informed. And Judy, you were saying earlier today about plans in the event of an evolving or changing situation. What do we want to do here with respect to CFP Radio, keeping listeners informed and helping, you know, being part of the solution rather than just merely scaremongering and what have you?
I'd like to see it as, you know, that it's not necessarily strictly to every Saturday, 8 to 10 EST, but that as we live in a world that is getting to be more and more volatile, you know, on a daily basis, that you and I are only as far away as our computers, and that in the event of any kind of an emergency, whether it's Saturday or Monday, we can let people know on the cover of both Homeland Security and Canada Free Press that we'll be, you know, on air tonight. In other words, we're available as events happen. I think that's perhaps the best thing about CFP Radio, Hageman McLeod Report. I see that as our best, you know, the best we have of it.
Availability in
emergencies.
And I so agree with you on that. As events, now that we've, you know, not only this nuclear event, this catastrophe, but now as apparently we've opened up a third the theater, and as everything seems to be happening as if we're reaching the end of the sand in an hourglass, news changes, and news changes hourly, daily, you know, and it's disheartening to turn on the news intending to try, you know, trying to catch up on things and seeing, you know, a report about something that happened a day or two ago, when in fact they should be informing the public up to the minute news. So what Judy and I decided to do was open up the Hageman McLeod Report to listeners. So at any given time, when events warrant, Judy and I will come on air and try to talk better than me, and we will inform the public of what our sources are telling us. And Judy's got some extremely high level sources in North America and across the world, as I do, and we will give you the truth without the hype, without the rant, and in a manner in which you can use. And that's our intent. And by the way, I want to thank CFP Radio for, Judy, and I want to thank you for that privilege, because I consider this a privilege.
I do too.
You know, I think we're, unlike other programs out there, you know, where they offer no solutions, but just bad news and hype and rants and finger-pointing and even conspiracies without the facts. If we got a conspiracy, we'll back it up with the facts. But indeed. Well, you know, boy, I'll tell you, the situation, going back to going back to the situation in Japan. You mentioned, Judy, radioactive iodine detected, or radioactive materials detected in Tokyo drinking water. Now that's Tokyo.
Yeah,
nearby milk, by the way, spinach has been affected by radiation too, and there's consideration now to stop food sales coming from Japan. Well, there goes the Kobe beef, I guess. I don't know. I guess we can do without that here in America, and probably
sure
in Canada
can.
Too. You know,
so can the White House.
Yeah, so can the White House.
Yeah.
So should the White House. So, bottom line here, it looks like from the current, just to reassess the current situation, it looks like the Fukushima nuclear power plant has at least nearly 10 times more nuclear fuel than Chernobyl did. It looks like that, consider that a single spent fuel pool at Reactor 4, which has lost all of its water, and as a result faces release of its radioactive material, has 75% as much nuclear fuel as all of Chernobyl. So the situation, without getting into the hype, is likely worse than what's being reported. Now, that said, what is the truth with respect to the fallout affecting the West Coast, affecting you in Canada, you in America, everyone in America? You know, should we be running out to the stores and buying iodine, or trying to buy potassium iodide? Should we? It's sold out, but should we be, you know, paying $600-$800 a bottle on the internet, eBay, to get this stuff? Judy, what do you think about this? I mean, what should we be doing?
Well, you know, it's difficult to know what to do, but solid information is already out there. There's no point running out and buy. You know, I guess you can buy it and keep it, but there's no point taking it. I think it's like it's very specific about, a day before, you are hit with the radioactive materials that would, there's no two ways about it. You can't just, and I don't think it's any. I don't think it, even though it's patented or promoted as helpful, I don't think it's a miracle. I mean, it's. So that's a very difficult question. We're already seeing that it's not so much radioactive as some of the other things that are coming out when things like this happen. For instance, they're saying that the biggest overall threat to human health would be cesium-137, which incidentally is said to have a lifespan of 30 years. You know, that's a real contaminate that happened in the aftermath of the immediate aftermath of the Chernobyl reactor, and it would be the same here. They're both nuclear, you know, reactors.
Right.
So it's cesium-137 that mixes easily with water, and it's chemically similar to potassium. And so it's almost the same as how potassium gets metabolized in the body and how it can enter, you know, through many foods, including milk. So, you know, there's, it's worse.
It seems like a daisy chain, right? Like, so what we're looking at here is not just like the breathable, you know, when you go out and breathe the allegedly or purportedly contaminated air or possibly contaminated air. You, Judy, are concerned, too, about the food, water supply, and about the daisy chain of events that's going to affect us more than just, you know, the obvious, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable. And the cesium, you mentioned this because, I was disturbed, and we talked about this earlier. Ann Coulter was on with Bill O'Reilly on the Factor, I think it might have been last night, where she was saying she was downplaying the effects of radiation on the human body, and aside from what I found that to be a little bit distasteful at the time, and I saw where she was going with that. Okay, I think I understood her intent. I'm just not happy with how she did it. But that being said, I think we're talking about different types of radiation, and that's not really being talked about. And you mentioned cesium, which is the most
I think that's perhaps the most one of, if not the most dangerous part of a fallout from a nuclear meltdown or of a nuclear reactor. I think it's the cesium. And incidentally, it's supposed to be light enough, deadly as it is, to be carried by the wind a substantial distance. Now, I don't know. I haven't looked up to measure in miles or kilometers, but in other words, it's carried on the wind, which is not a comforting thought.
No, it's definitely
the
not.
Situation there, yeah.
We, it's interesting because when we think back, I mean, in our lifetime, your lifetime, my lifetime, I mean, I think we've only seen one other, two disasters, counting Chernobyl. We saw Three Mile Island in 1979, and then in 1986 we had Chernobyl. And from my research, radiation clouds from Chernobyl spread across Europe, and basically every continent on this globe, but within a week, and... now, it's interesting because agencies like the World Health Organization and the IAEA claimed that only 9,000
yeah.
people died as a consequence. That word only just bothers me. More recent studies have shown that nearly 1 million people have been killed from cancers, from subsequent cancers, over the last 25 years. And that is likely due to the more the cesium and the worse type of radiation, if you will, as if there's a good type, but the worst type.
I think the other factor here as well, Doug, is that people start. It's only human nature, but people, and certainly the authorities, start counting after a certain while. After a certain time, they, as you put it, the only 9,000. Well, 25 years later, they're not counting anymore. It slipped out of the news, and it's almost forgotten.
Yeah, it can be swept under the rug.
Yeah.
The statistics are purposely skewed to avoid things. Now, on the other hand, though, I think you and I both, and I think the listeners would agree that nuclear power, this is not or should not be a death knell for nuclear power, should it?
No, I don't think it should. I mean, particularly now when energy is at a, such a time where energy is falling short in so many ways. Of course, right off the bat, that's what happened in Japan. They made it almost overnight. The radical environmentalists made it almost overnight, a lobby against, nuclear energy, which by all accounts is the cleanest, cheapest energy available to us. So there's that as well.
I mean, here in the United States, and I'm not sure about Canada, but here in the United States, we get 45% of our energy from coal, a great percentage from, which, by the way, coal is kind of a dirty, it's not as dirty as people think because of the restrictions placed on the coal companies, but Obama has promised to bankrupt the coal industry, essentially, and a great percentage from nuclear fuel. So what's left, if in fact the people, the governments, the powers that be start to say, look, we need to, they've already called for an inspection of all the plants here in America, but what's the alternative? And I think that's the agenda of the progressives. When you said population control earlier too, it had me thinking as well, this is more control of the masses kind of as well, I think.
For sure.
It's just amazing. What we said at the beginning, I want to help people. I mean, And I know you do too, and this is the big thing today. We would turn on the television. Neither one of us, Judy and I, we don't want to hear this is nothing to worry about. Just go watch your sitcoms and TV and, you know, don't worry about it. We're handling it, because when's the government handled anything with any type of, with any good capacity? We want to hear the truth, and we want people to tell us what should be, you know, what we should be doing to protect us and our families and our pets, because they're part of our families too. What do we need to do? What do we need to do? And especially the news today, Judy, just got this. Health websites sold out of potassium iodide tablets. And hospitals, by the way, because people don't understand how to take them, they've been put on alert for iodine overdoses. I just want to tell people this real quick. Not to dominate, but I gotta say this. If you have potassium iodide tablets, don't take them until or unless you have undoubtedly been contaminated with radiation, because it can negatively affect your thyroid. Secondly, it's not potassium iodide tablets are not meant to keep you 100% safe from radiation. It merely cuts or helps to cut the effects or the absorption levels in your body down in your thyroid. Check with your doctor. This is not medical advice. Neither one of us are giving medical advice, nor is CFB Radio doing it. If you're going to be taking potassium iodide tablets, check with your physician first, because there are side effects, there are issues with that, please do that. The correct dosage, according to the package instructions, is 130 milligrams per day for adults and half that for children. But again, check with your physician first. But Judy, what happens now that websites are sold out of this? What do we do if we need potassium iodide tablets?
Well, and if they're sold out, that's a good question. It's, what do you do? I mean,
are there alternatives?
You know, I think there are certain foods they're talking about. But again, I think that one, it gets into an ever-broadening, you know, like, today, I guess people don't really have the time, you know, particularly in the kind of economy and the things that are happening in particularly in the U.S. You know, now you're going to have to go out and get things like, ginger, beta-glucan, curcumin, garlic extract, magnesium. Mind you, it's always a good idea to take magnesium today for almost anything. I mean, they claim that in North American populations there's a shortage of people in vitamin D and magnesium, and I believe that. But the best advice we could give people is like not to panic. I mean, we don't know what the extent is here. We haven't had followed a nuclear meltdown, since Chernobyl, since this is now Japan. I think not to panic is one of the number one things. Like you say, hospitals are already reporting like people overdosing, and I think a lot of that has to do with the age we're now living in, where you've got you brought up my one of my favorite topics. Not so long ago, the World Health Organization, the arm of the UN, whose job I see it, is frightening the masses. We're all going to die of avian flu. We're all going to die of bird flu. We're all going to die of swine flu. And if that doesn't get you, climate change will. It's I think that that we have to sit back and sift through and see. Trying to find the truth wherever it is, and try not to panic, because it seems that there are sources out there that are doing just that, to keep people in a state of ever-present anxiety. I think we have to be very aware of that.
Kind of like the always Fox News alert, breaking news, when in fact it's not really that. It's just kind of like... It's overhyped, and exactly. I think we've got to keep our heads on our shoulders, and we have to monitor this situation and do it in such a fashion that it gives the truth to the people. Now, having said that, I was monitoring the flow of this radioactive cloud and the radiation levels all across where on the internet, folks, you can go to different websites. There are numerous. Just type in a search engine, radioactivity, radiation or radiation monitoring website or radiation monitoring site, and it will give you a listing of places where you can go. A lot of these are actual people with computers that have Geiger counters. They plug them in through the USB ports and are volunteers. Others are from universities. But the bottom line is you can actually see the levels of radiation all across the United States, all across Canada, all across various countries, including Japan. And now some of the and I have to say this, so Judy, I noticed earlier today that some of the Japanese sites were down or actually out or off. So that makes me wonder if, in fact, there's something else, you know, something else not going on. But as I see it, it looks like there is, in fact, a cloud coming or already here into the California coast, I should say, the west coast of America. And part of Canada. I don't know how you feel about that. The radiation levels are small, but keep in mind, folks, that first hit of radiation was from the initial breach of the reactor, and not from the spent fuel rods that were from the explosion in the third reactor, or in the second or third reactor, whichever one it was. So I expect those numbers to increase and worsen.
Is there any way to assess how dangerous they are to people in to West Coast residents? You know, the cloud's on its way or the cloud is here. How dangerous is it? Like you're saying, it's low levels. Is there any measure to find out when to worry, when the level becomes such that you then have to go and get your potassium iodide? Any way of knowing any of these things?
What a great question. There is, and there some sites actually color code the readings. So in other words, if we'll say Santa Barbara, if there are a couple of sites there in Santa Barbara, or even one, and there's a number and a color associated with that number, you can then look at the chart, the corresponding information, and see exactly you know, what the danger level is, and the different colors represent the different levels of danger. You know, my rule of thumb is to look at these, and of course, any corresponding information telling me to stay inside, that means there's obviously radiation in the air, and for me to start taking the potassium iodide. But again, I would check with the doctor first. But that's, yes, to answer your question, yes, there is. And that is in fact, well, that's how I do it. And I'd recommend people to keep that as a favorite in their browser, for a while. Keep those, you know, those sites in your browser, because you're going to need them. Judy, we got a caller, online, Dub in, Florida, and we're going to bring him on here right now. Dub in Florida. Dub, welcome to the Hagman & McLeod Report. You're on with Judy and I. What's up?
Thanks. How you guys doing tonight?
Super.
Fine, thank you.
Listen, can we change this around just a little bit and talk about Charlie Sheen? Making a joke, guys.
For any particular reason, Dub? I mean,
well, that seems to be what you find out there anymore. Not too much else going on.
Well, you're doing your best, Dub. You've got Dub, incidentally, Doug. I'm not sure. I'm sure you recognize him.
He and
Debbie are the. They have the new feature on Canada Free Press, which is they do an absolutely wonderful job writing out the recession, covering the bases. And boy, do they ever know a lot about gardening and things to keep body and soul together in these hard recessionary times. And
I tell you what, I'm glad to have him on the air. And Dub, let me tell you this: so if you're going to be on the show, you better be correct, because Charlie Sheen is not really Charlie Sheen; he's Carlos Erwin Estevez. Okay.
You know, I was wondering how his brother's name was Estevez, but he was Charlie Sheen.
Well, you know.
You just schooled me, Doug.
Well, now don't forget that. And by the way, he is a Vatican warlock assassin, and he's a very dangerous man. But Dub,
actually, I don't live in Florida. It's southern France. Maybe that'll throw him off.
There you go.
Listen, first thing I'd like to say is just that my heart goes out, and my family's heart goes out to the people in Japan. That was just a terrible tragedy that happened. And there's going to be a lot of people without homes for a considerable amount of time. So, you know, what do you do? But again, then the radiation becomes a concern. But you know what, guys? And it is a concern. But if you just look around, we have so many other concerns going on besides this, with North Korea and Iran and Yemen, and it just goes on and on and on. And then you look closer to home with our economy and the regulations our government's putting on everybody. There's no business growth going on. And the point I want to make that pertains to just what you guys are talking about is I don't understand why people can't at least open their eyes a little bit and understand with everything that's going on, anything at this point could tip us. And if it does, then you might want to have a little food on hand. And, you know, you don't have to go crazy with it, but I really believe anymore food is an investment. And if people will start listening a little bit, and there's tons of them that are, but this stuff goes up every day. Look at our fuel prices. And we're talking about a tragedy now, but we've got 15 other things just off the top of my head that we could talk about that could just absolutely ruin everybody tomorrow. So that being said, it's not just one thing to focus on. We have so many things to focus on. And, you know, the radiation factor, I don't know what we can do. You guys have been talking about the iodine that's being sold out. I have no idea, but that's kind of an act of God in my book. And, you know, what happens, happens. And, you know, we got to live with it and we got to deal with it. But we have other scenarios that are going on that we do have a little opportunity to at least better ourselves a little bit, to be prepared some. So, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I don't believe in 2012, and, you know, I didn't ever think anything about Y2K, but when the economy bubble burst, starting with our housing market and us being in the construction business, I mean, we saw it immediately. And at that point, our priorities in our life changed. So that's all I'm asking is people just wake up, pay attention a little bit, and try to do things that they feel in their heart are the right things to do, because that's what leads you. Let your heart lead you, and if you feel you're doing okay, fine. But try to grow a garden, you know, can some food. And it's going back to a little simpler way of life, but, you know, there's not a lot of stuff going on out there that's good today from an economic standpoint either. And, you know, that's pretty much what I've got to say.
But can I ask you, Barbara, go ahead, Judy. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Don. You ask the question.
Well, Dub, what are you doing? What are you personally doing? I mean, without giving away too much, you know, I don't want any personal information but what are you doing to make sure your family is safe and or at least, you know, hedging your bets in terms of the events, today's events? What do you recommend people do today, whether they're in America, Canada, or wherever? Where do we start?
Doug, you got to understand, I'm an old school guy, and I simply believe if you don't work, you don't eat. And, you know, everything that of our programs today, we're becoming the nanny state, and we're just ruining a class of people doing this. We're just ruining people. But, of course, we all know that's buying the votes, and that's another story, and I'll get off of it. But when Debbie and I, our work turned off, Doug, for a year and a half, just like it was a water spigot. I mean, it went from a good business to overnight, no business. And we were having a heck of a time, you know, collecting our money, our receivables, and that sort of thing. But anyway, we immediately at that point went, look. And we understood, if we're not working, we don't have money to go to Publix, which is one of the major grocery chains down here. So what we did, we reverted back to, and both of us have, my wife and I both have a little bit of agricultural background. My family's still in agriculture. So we just went back to some simpler ways. Instead of depending on Publix to pick stuff up, we went to growing gardens again. And we knew a little bit. And Judy, you know, shoot, I don't have all the answers at all. a lot of the breeders that's been on this with us have just are schooling me and Deb. But we're loving it because it's a sharing of information through everybody. But, Doug, here in Florida, we're very fortunate too. We went through the hurricanes in 2004. We had three, just the eyes went right over top of us. And it was just devastating here. The landscape changed overnight. It went from trees everywhere to none. Roads blocked, couldn't get out. But we had no water. And this went on for about 30 days through the course of these three storms with no water, no food, no electricity. Now, it wasn't all at one time, mind you. It was a couple of weeks later in between each time. But totally, we were out about 30 days. And what Debbie and I did, once we moved down here, we immediately put a pitcher pump. You remember the old-style pitcher pumps? Our water table is so high here in Florida, we have our own wells, and we just put the old-style pitcher pump on top. So if we lose power, we've got two valves we swap on our main pump, and we've got water. So we'll never be without water. But and then again, you know, we grow our gardens. We went back to canning our vegetables, and we can meats, and getting stuff that you can put on a shelf, Doug, and it doesn't have to have electricity. So anyway, that's kind of some of the things that we've done. Went back to some hand tools.
Okay. Obviously, you know, cutting wood for fires and when it gets cold, no electricity, what are you going to do? You know, especially up north, what are you going to do? You know, a fireplace, cutting, you know, make sure you got wood. Practical things is what you're saying, basically. Getting back to the basics, I guess, is your answer.
It's just simpler. It's just a simpler way of life. And again, you're right. And a lot of it's old-style stuff, but it's very pertinent in times like we're going through right now.
Those guys made it
through for a reason. And, you know, they were, they just knew what to do. So if you look back and go through your history a little bit, you can see that a lot of these guys, that what they did back then certainly works again today.
Indeed. Judy?
Well, I think that what Dub is saying is certainly applies to today more than, you know, it sure does. And what he's basically talking about is common sense. We have to go back to some of those ways. We have to be practical. And for sure, like, the things he's talking about are very, very important in riding out a recession like the one we're in now.
Indeed.
Thank you very much, Dub.
Dub, I thank you very much for your call. And please, Dub, and thank you for listening. And please tell other folks about the show. We're trying to grow the show. We're trying to help people, and we appreciate your support.
Well, I think you guys are doing a great job, and you guys, you'll do well with this. Just give it a little time.
I appreciate that. God bless you. Have a safe day out there. Thank you, sir.
Y'all too. Take care.
Bye. Right, and that was Dub from Florida. Great guy, sounds like. And Judy, you know him, right?
Yes, he's. He's recently started the feature, Canada Free Press feature, like riding out the recession. He and his wife Debbie, and it's become very popular. People
very
love it.
Great.
Yeah.
So that's CanadaFreePress.com. For that information, folks, we're at the top of the hour. We need we got to take a hard break right now. You're listening to CFP Radio, the Hagman McCloud Report, on the Blog Talk Radio platform. Take a listen to Mr. Gordon Sinclair.
Hitting the lowest point ever known in West Germany, it has declined there by 41% since 1971. And this Canadian thinks it's time to speak up for the Americans as the most generous and possibly the least appreciated people in all the world.
Very good. Your
microphone's
on mute. As
long as 60 years ago, when I first started to read newspapers, I read of floods on the Yellow River and the Yangtze. Well, who rushed in with men and money to help?
The
Americans did, that's who. They have helped control floods on the Nile, the Amazon, the Ganges, and the Niger. Today, the rich bottom land of the Mississippi is underwater, and no foreign land has spent a dollar to help. Germany, Japan, and to a lesser extent, Britain and Italy were lifted out of the debris of war by the Americans, who poured in billions of dollars and forgave other billions in debts. None of those countries is today paying even the interest on its remaining debts to the United States. When the franc was in danger of collapsing in 1956, it was the Americans who propped it up. And their reward was to be insulted and swindled on the streets of Paris. And I was there. I saw that. When distant cities are hit by earthquake, It's the United States that hurries in to help. Managua, Nicaragua is one of the most recent examples. So far this spring, 59 American communities have been flattened by tornadoes. Nobody has helped. The Marshall Plan, the Truman Policy, all pump billions upon billions of dollars into discouraged countries. And now newspapers in those countries are writing about the decadent, warmongering Americans. Now, I'd like to see just one of those countries that is gloating over the erosion of the United States dollar build its own airplanes. Come on now, you, let's hear it. Does any country in the world have a plane to equal a Boeing jumbo jet, the Lockheed TriStar, or the Douglas 10? If so, why don't they fly them? Why do all international lines except Russia fly American planes? Why does no other land on Earth even consider putting a man or a woman on the moon?
Yeah.
You talk about Japanese technocracy and you get radios. You talk about German technocracy and you get automobiles. You talk about American technocracy and you find men on the moon not once but several times and safely home again. You talk about scandals and the Americans put theirs right in the store window for everybody to look at. Even the draft dodgers are not pursued and hounded. They're right here on our streets in Toronto. Most of them, unless they're breaking Canadian laws, are getting American dollars from Ma and Pa at home to spend up here. When the Americans get out of this bind, as they will, who could blame them if they said to hell with the rest of the world? Let somebody else buy the bonds. Let somebody else build or repair foreign dams or design foreign buildings that won't shake apart in earthquakes. When the railways of France and Germany and India were breaking down through age, it was the Americans who rebuilt them. When the Pennsylvania Railroad and the New York Central went broke, nobody loaned them an old caboose. Both of them are still broke. I can name to you 5,000 times when the Americans raced to the help of other people in trouble. Can you name to me even one time when someone else raced to the Americans in trouble? I don't think there was outside help even during the San Francisco earthquake. Our neighbors have faced it alone, and I'm one Canadian who is damn tired of hearing them kicked around. They'll come out of this thing with their flag high, and when they do, they're entitled to thumb their noses at the lands that are gloating over their present troubles. I hope Canada is not one of these. But there are many smug, self-righteous Canadians. And finally, the American Red Cross was told at its 48th annual meeting in New Orleans this morning that it was broke. This year's disasters, with the year less than half over, has taken it all, and nobody, but nobody, has helped.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to a very special edition of CFP Radio, the Hagman McLeod Report. My name is Doug Hagman. I'm the Hagman counterpart, the USA counterpart to the Hagman McLeod Report. That was Gordon Sinclair, The Americans, from 1973. I remember, folks, by the way, when that song was on. What a great tribute to this country. And I got to thank Judy McLeod for reminding me of that song. And, of course, our call screener and chief engineer, Brian Thompson, for playing it. God bless you both, and God bless Canada for telling it like it is and telling it like it was. Perhaps that's more appropriate. But I still think America, Americans, every American true-blooded patriot in this country, thanks Mr. Sinclair and in Canada for that tribute to our country. Judy,
thank
welcome
you,
back.
Gordon Sinclair was the best. There's no doubt about that. You know, he passed many years ago, but boy, he sure had his head on, right?
Boy, didn't he? You know, and I remember too. Of course, this is right before the stop the Vietnam War ended, when the protests and just the you know, we think we live in a volatile time now, which we do, but boy, I remember back then when in the 70s, you know, the impeachment of Nixon and the war, the Carter years, the inflation, the misery index, and what have you. But my goodness, today, much different, much worse. And as Dub said, you know, we've got the radiation situation to deal with. But my goodness, Judy, you, Canada, we, America, the world, we've got, we're on the verge of an economic collapse. I'm looking at different monitors here, monitoring the various news stations. 114 Tomahawk missiles fired on 20 air defense locations in Libya right now. What I'm looking at on my monitor looks pretty much like Baghdad during the George Bush time.
Mm-hmm. You know? Doesn't it, though?
And this continuity of agenda of and this is something we haven't talked about, but there appears to be a continuity of agenda here at play with respect to how, I mean, the Middle East is on fire. And now we're shooting missiles into Libya. Judy, what is going on?
Well, you know, it's unbelievable. And the hypocrisy in it all. What was it, 112 cruise missiles, 127 cruise missiles sent into Libya from the U.S. of A. I mean, where are the code pink? Where are the people that went after Bush? He went after Saddam Hussein. Obama, he may be cha-chaing over there in Brazil, but now America is at war with Libya. Like, you know, what's the difference here?
Exactly. And the right before George Bush made his decision, now, this, of course, comes from George Bush, right before he made the decision and consulted with his security advisors. And by the way, that was a United Nations. I mean, that there was a lot of countries involved in that. But he wrote a handwritten note to his father expressed his concern about starting a war with Iraq. And of course, his father said, "Look, you know, you've got to make this decision based upon the evidence at hand, and you know, Godspeed, God be with you, and devotedly, Dad." It was a very heart-wrenching thing. But the fact of the matter is, my point is, George Bush was in the Oval Office when he did this. He wasn't in Rio.
Exactly.
And now we've got a president. You know, what do Canadians think, Judy, of our commander-in-chief at this point?
Believe it or not, it's incredible to me. But don't forget, socialism rides high in Canada, and it has for some time, as do anti-Americanism. I haven't seen anything that changed the last poll where it was something like 72% of Canadians would vote for Obama if only they could. So Canadians, many of them socialists at heart, like your President Doug.
Oh. So basically, it's okay. Now, if George Bush were right now president of the United States, firing cruise missiles into Libya, I dare say, and I'm sure you agree, that you would have every progressive, liberal, left-wing organization ready to burn down the White House and string them up. And yet,
yeah,
Obama gets a pass.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, why is that? But I guess it's because the progressives are now in control. And worldwide, incidentally, it's not just the USA. Obama dominates the world stage right now, or at least is trying to. And there's so much unrest given his policies. But it sure makes you wonder.
Well, you know, my question to you, Judy, now in the United States, of course, I would dare say you're more familiar with the United States Constitution than most Americans, but Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution states that Congress has to declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal, and rules concerning captures on land and water. In other words, weren't the protesters crying before that it was an unconstitutional war with Iraq? Not necessarily Afghanistan, but specifically with Iraq. Yet now we've opened up a third theater, apparently, along with France and other countries. but unconstitutionally and without congressional approval. So not, you know, only Congress can declare war here in the United States, but I digress.
As you know, Doug, the Constitution went out the window on January 20th, wasn't it, 2009, when Obama was, as Rush Limbaugh would say, immaculated and slash inaugurated. We're not really even as far as that's concerned. Are you seeing that much that Congress is entitled or legalized to do doing any of the things that were before Obama? I don't know. You're right there. I think that's a big part of the problem. Congress is
true.
Now the 48 czars, you know, the people that caused all the grief that you were talking about in the 70s and the Vietnam War years. They're now, unelected.
Well, they've grown up.
Yeah, they've grown up in there.
And now they're running things. Yeah, exactly. Folks, to be technically accurate, and Judy, I'm sorry, the president does have the right to engage in military action for 90 days without official permission from Congress,
okay.
But nonetheless, I mean, splitting hairs here. But, Judy, let me ask you this. Do you believe that this is, I mean, I don't like Gaddafi, believe me. I don't like the other side either. That's fighting Gaddafi. They're not democratic. They're not in for the democratic process of this. Do you think, Judy, that this is part of a globalist agenda?
Oh, I definitely do. It's sort of like, the signs are all there. I mean, Obama, with help of wealthy CEOs in America, ousted Mubarak from Egypt, and we were supposed to celebrate, a strange kind of new democracy. It's called the Muslim Brotherhood democracy. But they ignored the true thrust for democracy earlier, before that, by the many young people who paid with their lives in Iran. And now they're, as you say, no one likes Gaddafi. You'd be insane. He's a dictator. He's a brutal dictator, and he's a madman.
Right.
But here we are now, going in there, invading, and this is a guy that he goes for revenge. You know, he brings planes down. He doesn't just do what Obama and the United Nations do, talk, parlay. He brings planes down.
You're referencing the one flight over Lockerbie, I believe, right?
Yeah, okay. It seems to me that there is orchestration, and it's sort of becoming obvious now. I mean, what's the difference between Libya and Egypt?
Well, that's a great question. Why not Egypt?
Why not?
Why not Tunisia? Why not? Why not Tunisia?
Because
why not Bahrain?
Because it fits in their global geopolitical plan somehow.
And do you find it, Judy? And I got to tell you, folks, let me, if I can preface this question to Judy. Ladies and gentlemen, Judy, long time, 100 years, I think, as an investigative journalist. She knows her facts, yet she's only 29, but she's got 100 years experience. I got to tell you. You know your facts, Judy. You've got impeccable contacts in the government, in the various alphabet agencies. We've got things popping all over the place here. Do you think that the globalists have basically been uncaged with the election or selection or coronation of Obama?
It was their finest hour. I mean, this was not some little accident of election day, November 4, 2008. This was a a plan in the works for a long, long time, and it peaked because they got their man in control, and they've been working ever since on their globalist plan, which unfortunately includes taking down, fundamentally changing, is really taking down America. I mean, it's ruining the economy, and it's changing the lives of people forevermore. You can call it the fundamental transformation of America, but it's the equivalent of taking it down or ruining it. And that's what's happening. And that's what's happening even as we speak here this evening.
Okay. Now let me ask you this, and this is something we really haven't talked about in at great length. Do you believe, Judy, that there is any, how can I phrase this, Muslim heritage factor that's at play here by Obama that's guiding his decision-making process? In other words, you know, George Bush, obviously a Texan, born in America, raised in America, played, you know, Little League in Texas and what have you. Whereas you've got Obama, raised in Indonesia for part of his life and worldly. Do you think that's affecting or has affected or is affecting his decision-making process?
Oh, I mean, I think that you don't have to scratch, you know, nobody has to scratch too far below the surface to find that he has strong ties to the Muslim world. I mean, I don't even think he's really hiding it. Maybe in the beginning, or maybe he would reword it for us in the Marxist dialectic. But there's no doubt about it. And I think that makes it an even more dangerous time for us. I think that, the radical Islam has, joined up with the globalists. And that's what we're seeing, a lot of the movement right now, and it does not look very good for the free world, for the Western world.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned two things. Marxist dialectic, which I don't think a lot of people really understand, the dialectic part of that, or even the Marxist, I think we're seeing full-blown communist agenda here at the hands of Obama by his handlers. And I do believe, Judy, that Obama has handlers. Some of the globalists who are calling the shots. And I don't think Obama made this decision of involvement on his own. How much play do you think Hillary Clinton got in this, or how much influence did she have in making this decision, this Libyan decision, do you think?
I think she had very little. I think she's sort of like many, many of the elected officials. They look powerful when you look at them, but in the background, their puppet strings are being pulled by the globalists. I don't think she had a lot to say and a lot to of influence on it at all. She's just doing, she's sort of like a front right now, like no more than that. I don't see her as having any real say in it and having done anything to change the world since she's been in that portfolio. Mind you, I think she's only marginally better than Obama. I'm sure she has her instructions from the cabal, from the global cabal, just like many of the powerful politicians in office today do.
Okay, all right. So she's kind of a puppet of a puppet, basically, is what you're describing.
That's how I see it. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good. And you know, we want to. I kind of want to keep to. So many things happening, but I kind of want to keep to the telling people where they can go for assistance and helping people. There was a question about where you can go for real-time readings on radiation, and you can view official EPA radiation readings. I'll put the website up. It's a long website, and I don't believe it's a government-run website, but simply because the EPA servers have either been crashed by too much traffic, or they've taken down the radiation data, which is disconcerting to me. But what we'll do after this program is I'll send you the link for it, and I'll put it up on my website as well, homelandsecurityus.com. You know, and people can check for themselves the radiation readings in various areas. And I want to thank Joe, my researcher, for sending that to me and alerting me to that fact. So, but indeed, that's something I think that we need to really keep an eye on. And you know, in talking about things too, my wife and I were talking earlier. You know, if something did happen where we had to leave, for example, quickly, for whatever reason, to have a bug out bag available, and what should we have compiled together, you know, in this bug out bag? And I know you've got one, I've got one, that prepared people have bags ready, you know, kind of bags packed, or, you know, things that you need. I just want
everybody to have one.
Exactly. Folks, you know, take, if you do nothing else, if you get nothing else out of this broadcast tonight, I'll publish a list on my website, but get together your insurance papers, your birth certificates, your family photos and albums, and your important papers, you know, your titles, car titles, home, land deed titles and everything, and keep them in a safe. For 50 to 80 bucks, you can buy a good carry along safe that is waterproof and fireproof to a certain extent. School records, medical records, prescriptions, pet records, you know, anything, prescriptions. And if you only have a one-time drug prescription, make sure you take the bottle with you, okay? So a lot of things you can do. And don't lose the bottle in that case. But keep everything close by, know where everything is in case you have to leave in a pinch. And I can't drive that home now. And that's a good rule of thumb, Judy. I mean, to, you know, we all should
even
be
a little book, Doug, with a recording, you know, telephone numbers close family members and friends, emails.
That's right.
You know, that came up over and over again in Japan. You know, people that didn't memorize phone numbers and had, you know, no access to them now that their houses were swept away by tsunami.
That's correct.
So it's good. It's very good to have all these things like at hand. Like, that would be a very good thing to have in your bug out bank.
Exactly.
Water, aspirin.
Yep. Yes. Yes. You know, it's a lot easier. And I've worked casually. Property and casualty type claims, investigated the fraudulent ones, that is. And on the non-fraudulent ones, I've seen people heartbroken looking for their military records, their, you know, tax information and what have you. You know, so don't be a victim twice. Not, you know, once by the disaster and second by the aftermath. So get everything together, and we certainly can help you, ladies and gentlemen, tell you what we've got, and you know, we can help you with that. So that's just one thing I wanted to mention as well, because I think that's important. My goodness.
Be prepared. I mean, there's the Boy Scouts had it right, and there's nothing ever trumped it. Be prepared.
That's
know,
right.
What was it you were saying in the promo you wrote for CFP for this radio show? Like, you know, expect the worst, but hope for the best. Or, I think I got it reversed there.
It's prepare for the worst, but expect the best. And my wife tells me that I'm a pessimist, and among other things, that's what I can say on air. But prepare for the worst, but expect the best, and pray. If you
all, praying is important. It's so important.
Absolutely, because I think, you know, prophetically, Judy, I really believe in my heart of hearts, looking at the world as it stands today, and I hope Christians listening to this I hope people listening to this understand the context in which I say this. I believe that the signs are upon us that indicate that we're seeing the actual, Psalm 83 coming up here, the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation down the road here. I think things are lining up the way the Bible has choreographed or has laid out, and I think that we need to be spiritually prepared as well as physically prepared.
Oh, yeah. I think that spiritually prepared is a way to be all the time, whether it's end times or ordinary time. It's that seems to be a big part of our problem in our culture today. I mean, we don't get too many victories like the one just a couple of days ago where a lady who was, didn't want the crucifix anywhere in public schools lost in court. That's a rarity. It's all over the land, across the world. I mean, all of a sudden, it's Christianity is under intense attack.
You know, isn't that something? And what we're seeing played out in the Middle East, you know, we saw a horrific murder of an Israeli family. And in Israel, in the West Bank, it got virtually no press. In fact, it received very little condemnation or appropriate condemnation by our State Department and certainly by Obama. He made a statement about it, but if you parse the statement, it was very, exactly. What we're seeing played out right now across the Middle East is the establishment of what I would call it an Islamic Crescent Caliphate, and I think that things are lining up right now. Earthquakes and tsunamis aside, I think what we're seeing lined up right now in the Middle East, including Libya, is the reformation of the countries that will end up attacking Israel, especially since Obama has all but abandoned Israel, and I pray for Israel every day because I can just see it lining up, and that's very disconcerting to me. But I'm getting off track here. I didn't mean to get off track. You know, earlier
that's
today.
Okay, that's a good way to get off track.
Well, you know, earlier today. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I just said that's a good way to get off track by bringing God and Israel into the picture.
Well, measure for measure, as it's put in the Bible, as we and there's an interesting book that I think every library should have. There's a book by Bill Salas called Israelistein that everyone should have, but there's another book. Oh my goodness! You know, now I had it here on my desk, and it's buried under papers, but or not on my desk. But it's about the prophecies relative to Israel, as we have abandoned Israel or treated Israel, we have been the recipient of some bad things, and this book lays out over history since the time of George Washington how this has happened, and I'll have to. I've mentioned this on air before, but I'll have to get the name of it. But measure for measure, and I think that's what we're seeing right now. But Judy, earlier today we talked about Jim Berkland.
Yes.
Getting back to the earthquake situation.
Yes.
And in the promo, we talked about the moon today. 18 years. It's been 18 years since it's been this close to the Earth. Jim Berkland, who predicted the California earthquake during the World Series. He predicted basically when it would happen, where it would happen. He was on Neil Cavuto this past week saying, there is yet to come another earthquake within the next 7 days, actually between March 19th, which is today, and March 26th, which is a week from today, a 75% or a high likelihood of a large earthquake based on a number, I think 12 to 13 different factors. And I'm afraid, I shouldn't say afraid, but I have to sit up and take notice. Here's a guy that worked for the USGS back in 1989 who said, hey, this earthquake's going to happen. It happened, and the USGS fired the guy. Now he's saying, look, folks, get ready for a big one, and this big one is going to happen in the Ring of Fire, and it's going to be as bad or perhaps as bad as Japan within the next 7 days. He's got a 75% to 80% accuracy rate. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, Doug, as you said to me on the telephone, I think it was on Thursday, if I'm correct, you know, you have been on other radio shows with him, with Jim, and
yes,
you told me that he has a high, you believe in him, you believe his credibility. I think that makes it all the more fearsome if he's not some crackpot out there running around predicting, you know, he's based on scientific, you know, fact. That makes it really worth listening to, and I think that we should prepare ourselves for the possibility of it.
Well, you know, yeah, and you're right. I was on, this happened to be like 5 years ago, 6 years ago. I was on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie and had the opportunity to briefly speak with Jim Berkland. And here's a guy, normal guy. Matter of fact, it reminded me of like an uncle you'd have, a farmer type guy. No airs about him. Saying, look, all I use is like 12 different, 13 different factors, moon, planetary stuff. But the big thing, because of the magnetic pull, is the placement of the moon. And as I said earlier, the moon is closest today as it's been in 18 years. But in addition to that, there are other factors that are at play here. The planetary alignment and some other things that are taking place that escape me right now. But all these factors combined indicate that a high probability of an earthquake. And
well, Doug, I don't know whether it's Joe had just sent this into the chat line from the real news reporter, like from Russian news.
Okay.
They're calling for, have you seen that report? Catastrophic earthquakes coming to Asia and the subcontinent, they're saying is, quote, more than likely to occur, unquote, with the 7.3 magnitude quake in Japan being one of at least four of this intensity to occur during the same time period. So it's coming in from other sources as well, is the point of the Kremlin is preparing Putin for this. This was on the 12th of March. Putin was prepared by the Kremlin for these upcoming catastrophic earthquakes, and including in America.
Including America. So a day after the incident in the tragedy in Japan.
Excellent point. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I don't even know what to say to that, except that, you know, between the Berkland prediction, and again, I would classify that as a prediction more than necessarily scientific fact, but, you know, you've got to take into account these things. And that, it would appear to me that it seems like our government and other governments are being prepared for something more yet to come. And that's kind of how you read that as well, I take it.
Yeah. You know, and I think, again, it underlines how important it is for people to have these things that we were talking about on this show. It's all the more critical to do what you can to prepare.
And if you want, and I know this will be online for a long time, if you want to see the clip of Jim Berkland with Neil Cavuto. And then I've been on Neil Cavuto's show before. Neil Cavuto is a guy that, I have to tell you, his producers vet the guests very carefully. In other words, Neil Cavuto is not going to bring on somebody that is not right, is not correct, or is not, you know, I mean, you got to go through a process to get on with Neil Cavuto. Immense respect for the guy. He had Jim Berkland on. Folks, if just search Jim Berkland, Neil Cavuto, YouTube. Watch the clip.
You want to spell Jim's surname out, Doug, so people, listeners,
certainly
can? Yeah.
It's B-Boy, E. Edward, R. Roger, K. Kilo, L. Lima, A. Apple, N. Nancy, D. Dog, Berkland. So that's Jim Berkland, Fox. Search that on YouTube. Take a look at that. A United States megaquake, indeed possible. And that's on YouTube. And I want to thank I want to thank you. I think Judy, you're the one that sent me that. So,
goodness knows. And our columnist Jim O'Neill sent it to me, and he got it from columnist Kelly Nelson, so like it goes around.
Well, you know, it's funny, and I'll tell you what, I've got to say this. I used to work in emergency medical services, and we used to have the full moon effect, and people still today make fun and say, "Oh, that's just a wives' tale." When the full moon comes out, you know, weird things happen. Of course, you know, I grow a lot of facial hair, body hair, and howl, but that's beside the point. In all seriousness, when I worked for the emergency medical services as a paramedic back in the late 1970s, that gives you an idea of my age. I got to tell you, when there was a full moon, people went nuts. It was wild. It was crazy. So, I believe in the moon factor. So. Indeed.
Well, the moon, even, there's no doubt about it, the moon controls the tides and many other things, not just when people go, you know, kind of crazy, murderers and such.
Yes,
but
indeed.
The moon does govern many things on planet Earth.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, I'm going to give the phone number out here. I got a note here that we're having a little trouble with those phone lines, and I apologize for that. And we're still working out the... We're still working out the kinks in the system. The phone line to call in, we've got about 20 minutes left in the show. Folks, if you have a question, a comment, a concern, something you want to get across, again, we're not going to hang up on you no matter what, within reason. 661-244-9839 to talk with Judy McLeod and Doug Hagman on the Hagman Movement Quickbook. The Cloud Report, excuse me. Definitely give us a call. I know there's some people in the chat room that are there talking, and we've got some technical issues, but we're getting through them. But it's just so many things taking place today, Judy, that it's just hard to believe. And I'm looking at a monitor right now with the Libyan situation taking place. Where do you think this is all going to go, Judy? What's going to happen?
Oh, I think it's not going to a very good place. It's not going to peace and security, and that's for sure. I think that this is very bad. I mean, again, as a journalist, I'm suspicious how it looks to me like President Obama. Cut and run. I mean, he this is going on, you know, like, as I said, you know, war has been declared on Libya, and he's sashaying around with his family. You were the one who mentioned to me earlier, I didn't know, I knew that this is a trip where he's brought his mother-in-law, his two daughters, along with his wife. But you're telling me that the CEOs from some of our, primary and, energy industries are there with him as well. But it makes you wonder what the heck he's doing there with all this going on in the world. What's he doing there right now?
You know, that's a terrific question. I don't think I know a Latin American trip, some people say, has been long overdue, but I question the timing. You're looking at Obama traveling with not only his family, but Jeffrey Immelt from General Electric, some other CEOs of energy companies. Don't forget, folks, he gave Petrobras, and Judy, you and I spoke about this earlier today, Petrobras the ability to drill when and take took that ability away from the United States to drill in the Gulf of Mexico. He's doing everything he can to really destroy this country and to really, I mean, you know, people are unhappy with $4 or $3.79 gas prices. I got a feeling, I don't know what you're paying up there in gas, but I got a feeling we're going to be seeing $5 a gallon after, you know, June or in June. I just, you know, I have this feeling, and I have a feeling that there's an all-out war against traditional energy, and you know, in addition to what we're seeing on air. But in the bottom line, Judy, I believe in the back, at the top, on the sides, I believe it's the globalists here at play. I really do.
I'm glad you do, and. I think that a lot of people see that, and I think that that is the problem. This is a global concern anyway. It's like a move to one world government, and that is not where I think I know most people do not want to go.
No, indeed. One world government is an attack on national sovereignty. Of course, you know, I've spoken in the past to Dr. Jerome Corsi. I know you have others who are talking about the creation of a North American Union, which is a component of global governance. You have a fantastic columnist, Henry Lamb, on Canada Free Press that talks about this kind of thing. You know, we've got to be very aware. I think what the news reports, and bear in mind, folks, six corporations own all of the major media outlets in this country, in America, and I'm not sure about Canada. Now, that said, you've got to know that there is not only a continuity of agenda at play worldwide by the globalists, but there's a continuity of reporting by the media, isn't there? I mean, do you see much change?
Definitely, you know, the media is no longer like journalistic in intent. It's political, and it's the mainstream media here in North America is the running dog of the powerful elite, of course, you know, crowned by the global poobah, the global cabal.
Well, you know, for those, and I don't know, again, if I'm off track, just slap me upside the head, Judy, but who's in this global cabal that we talk about, you know, that people laugh about?
Okay, primarily, you know, of course, it's George Soros, Maurice Strong. There's, you know, there's a whole league of them, but they're all the rich and the powerful.
Okay.
And with oodles of connections to the United Nations and, you know, back and forth. They're the elite, the rich, the powerful. Henry Kissinger, another name.
Henry Kissinger, that's right. And you said something earlier, and it kind of it's still resonating in my small little head here. Population control. Just quickly, I sat in your country at a table with a woman who works for would be the equivalent of our State Department, who said that she would not mind seeing a massive global plague to wipe out the majority of the population, thin the herd, as she termed it. Kind of made me wonder, made me think a little bit. Back to your population control. Did you feel that after the Japan quake that Obama was rather aloof? Maybe that's putting it mildly.
Aloof. You know. Oh, that's a good word. That perfectly describes Doug. Aloof about Japan. For a guy that's telling the world and coming on like king of the world. I mean, he's not, you know, we've heard this many times over the last 2 years. You know, he's a you know, king of the world as opposed to USA president, who's supposed to believe in globalism. He sure is not giving much sympathy to Japan right now.
No, not at all. And one thing, I mean, you know, the voluntary evacuation, I understand. I think that came from the military as opposed to, I think that they're, from talking with my military sources, they made that decision of evacuation. Of course, it received the nod, if you will, from the commander-in-chief, but I don't think he had much of a choice. But when you see other countries evacuating from Japan, you know the situation is bad. When you saw the fleet, 3 days after the reactor went, hightail it out of the area, I think that kind of gave us a good indication that things were not good. You know, and as you pointed out today, trace amounts of radiation detected in Tokyo tap water. Boy, a lot of things happening. Now Libya, we can add to the mix of the ring of fire of the Middle East. I'm not sure what to expect next, but the thing I want to point out is, ladies and gentlemen, as you download this and listen to this as a podcast, I know we've had thousands of people do that. Folks, keep in mind that Judy McLeod, Doug Hagman, will be on air as needed throughout the week. As things develop, we'll try to give you advance notice if you want to listen live, and let you know the truth of what our sources are telling us, our government sources are telling us. And and I'll shut up here in a second, but the last thing I want to say is my intelligence sources, quite frankly, are telling me that the situation as is being painted by Japan or by our government, the situation will eclipse the disaster of Chernobyl that occurred on April 26, 1986. And by the way, we're all walking around with isotopes from Chernobyl in our bodies because of that. You, Judy, me, and everyone listening to this program. And now we can add to the mix isotopes from Fukushima in a short period of time. But Judy, I mean, what else here do we need to tell people?
I think that people need to know that we are sincere about our intent to be available. You may not have to wait till next Saturday to hear Doug and Judy again. As we said, we'll go by, you know, what's happening, and it seems to me, or to us, that a lot is happening, and that. That people have very few places to go to get the facts and the truth, but the Hagman-McLeod report will be back according to how events go this week. We could be back on tomorrow for all we know.
You know, that's true. We could very well be back on tomorrow, and that's if we can take the closing minutes of this program just to tell people our vision for this. What we want to establish, and this might not take the whole end of the show, but what we want to establish is an alternative to all of the media. You know, Judy puts her face, and by the way, folks, CanadaFreePress.com, check out the cool picture of her in sunglasses, and of course, and her bio, and of course, you know, I stand behind my name, my picture's on my website. I stand behind the information I report. We both do. We're not anonymous posters on some obscure blog site. And we want you folks to know that everything that we say and everything that we do, we put our reputations on the line. And we want to offer you an alternative to ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, and the like, and tell you exactly what we know. And if we don't know something, we're going to tell you we don't know, but we can find out. And that brings me back to Patricia, who called. You know, I will have ask Joe and some other members of my staff, Judy, here to investigate the HARP, if there's any significance to HARP, or if, you know.
That'd be great, Doug.
You know, and we'll report back as we find out. So that I wanted to let people
know.
That's
great. A lot of counter-repressant readers are, from time to time, they keep writing to us about HARP. Patricia opened up a good, you know, a good idea here.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. You know, conversation we had earlier, and before we end the show, I want to ask you about this.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the environmentalist activists obscuring the truth, perhaps, and it caused me to think. You know, what did she mean by that? It was a note that she wrote in an email. Are environmentalist activists obscuring the truth about the nuclear power situation as we have it right now, do you think?
Yeah.
Or the meltdown or whatever? I mean, that was a yes.
I think the environmental activists are part of the progressives. They're exceedingly dangerous. I mean, if they had their way, they'd drag us all the way back to to the time of the plague. This group are calling again for to turn all your lights off next Saturday.
Right,
I mean,
right.
The world doesn't need darkness. The world needs light. You're not saving any money by having your lights off. Last year up till now, and the last, I guess, this will be the third year or the fourth year, one of the two. You're not saving money. The environmental activists are out there doing their best. I'm talking about the radical ones. I mean, anybody sensible cares about the environment and Mother Earth. You, of course, tell that to Greenpeace. Who want to stand on and give us all lectures about the environment and saving the environment. But yeah, they've been a factor in this Japan situation. I mean, they were there in the beginning. Immediately after the tsunami, they were calling for shutting down all nuclear reactors. Where we get our energy from? They don't care. Yeah,
they're criticizing the placement of the reactors in Japan. Where are they going to put them? I mean, you know, I mean, so you were exactly right on that. Do you think the nuclear industry can survive this tragedy?
Yes, I do. I do.
Okay.
We're not getting earthquakes hitting our nuclear generators every day, are we? Mind you, that having been said, it's a huge problem when they do hit. It's a problem, but I think that the nuclear industry will, in spite of all, I think it will survive. I think that, the politics in it are going to make it tough, but I think they'll survive it.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, because what other alternative do we have? I guess, in San Francisco, they're talking about banning fireplaces. You know, I'd hate to think of having to chop up my coffee table and use that for heat, but, I certainly...
Well, look at it. Like in Toronto, they spent years, the Jack Laytons, Peter Tabbins, who went on to be, the chairman of Greenpeace Canada. You know, they actually had a plan in mind that they wanted all automobiles, cars, off the roads. They really wanted to go back to the horse and buggy days. And they were serious about this.
Yes.
You know.
Now they want you to go to the Chevy Volt, by the way, but that's another story. But, 300 cars on average sold, I think, a year or last year. Yeah. So that's what we got, but you're optimistic with that though.
You see, because I know the universe is extremely old, and God's world God's so-called little green acres have always been here. They will be here. The sky is not falling. You know, really, there have been Mother Nature disasters from the beginning of time. You know, we're still here. We still have to get by and see the light. And I believe that.
You know, I love your optimism, and I believe that, in fact, we will still be here. And for those who think that natural disasters, to a great extent, haven't happened, search on the Internet for a map of California in the year 1700. That wasn't that long ago.
Uh-huh.
And you can see that it was basically an island. And that was from a tsunami, I believe it was, or from tidal effects of an earthquake / tsunami. So, you know, to think that one cannot happen there again would be ridiculous. And I think that, you know, we have to prepare, expect for the worst, and prepare for the worst and expect the best. But Judy, I think that if we approach the situation logically, don't get caught up in the hype on, you know, by some hosts, and don't get caught up in the complacency by the mainstream media, but land somewhere in the middle with reasonableness, I think we can. And as Dub said too, you know what? Get back to basics. I mean, buy food that you're going to eat, folks. You know, have it on hand. I think that's definitely, we need to do that. And especially keep in mind, too, 6 months from now, you're going to, you know, the food that's being affected by radiation today is going to be in the food supply 6 months from now and 3 months from now. So keep that in mind as well.
And so is the food imported from China.
Yeah, you can't walk down the street. Well, one street in Casino Boulevard in Queens. All the food's imported from China, and they have it out in the open air markets. And I have to tell you, you know, I can just see that. I suppose next time I walk down there, I'm gonna have to use a Geiger counter. But yeah, I don't think the sky's falling. I seriously don't. I do think that we need to be cautious as to what information we consider fact and what what's being told to us. And I'm concerned that we're not being told the truth, but I think if we search for the truth, we will find it, and in our hearts we'll know what the truth is when we do find it.
I couldn't agree more wholeheartedly, Mr. Douglas Heitman.
Well, I'll tell you what, Judy, we closed out another show, our third show of the Hagman-McLeod Report, on Canada Free Press Radio. I want to thank Dub, Patricia, and the other people who tried to call. I apologize for the technical problems we had, but thanks for trying. And we will be back next Saturday from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on Canada Free Press Radio, CFP Radio, the Hagman-McLeod Report. My name is Doug Hagman. I'm the director of HomelandSecurityUS.com, and, of course, my beautiful and wonderful co-host, Judy McLeod, CanadaFreePress.com. Judy, God bless you, and thank you for a wonderful program today.
God bless you, Doug, and thank you, and God bless you all, everybody listening.
And folks, please, spread the word about this program. Help us grow this program across the country and across the world, because I think the world needs a good dose of non-hyped truth. And I think we can give that to you folks. And just God bless you, and please stay safe. Until next time, Doug Hagman and Judy McLeod, thank you for listening.